Greetings and salutations. What's goody, folk? Welcome back to your Spiritually Logic podcast, brought to you by Soul Driven, Soul Intended. I am your host, coach, and creator of all things Soul Driven, Bryce Bryson. In this episode of Spiritually Logic, we're going to get into self-care and different types of self-care from a physical, natural, and spiritual sense, okay? So let's go ahead and just jump right into it. All of the stress relief activities in the world won't help if you aren't taking care of yourself. Meditation won't do you any good if you aren't getting adequate sleep. In fact, when you try to meditate, you might doze off because you aren't taking care of your body's need for sleep. Similarly, hitting the gym once in a while won't relieve much stress if you're not regularly fueling your body with healthy, nutrient-dense food. You need to take care of your basic needs first if you want your stress relief activities to be effective. In this podcast episode, we're going to go ahead and go over some different types of self-care and detail why they are so important. So, what exactly is self-care? Self-care has been defined as a multi-dimensional, multifaceted process of purposeful engagement in strategies that promote healthy functioning and enhance well-being. Essentially, the term describes a conscious act a person takes in order to promote their own physical, mental, and emotional health, even spiritual. There are many forms self-care can take. It could be ensuring you get enough sleep every night or stepping outside for a few minutes for some fresh air. Self-care is vital for building resilience towards those stressors in life that you can't eliminate. When you've taken steps to care for your mind and body, you'll be better equipped to live your best life. Unfortunately, however, many people view self-care as a luxury rather than a priority. Consequently, they're left feeling overwhelmed, tired, and ill-equipped to handle life's inevitable changes and challenges. It's important to assess how you're caring for yourself in several different domains so you can ensure you're caring for your mind, body, and spirit. So let's get into some different types of self-care. Self-care isn't just about finding ways to relax. It's about taking care of yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, and spiritually. In order to care for your health and well-being, it is important to find a balance that allows you to address each of these areas. Sometimes you might need more self-care in one specific area in order to restore balance or find relief from a stressor in your life. So first up, let's talk about physical self-care. You need to take care of your body if you want it to run efficiently. Keep in mind there's a strong connection between your body and your mind. When you're caring for your body, you'll think and feel better as well. Physical care includes how you're fueling your body, how much sleep you're getting, how much physical activity you are doing, and how well you're caring for your physical needs. Attending healthcare appointments, taking medications as prescribed, and managing your health are all part of good physical care. When it comes to physical care, ask yourself the following questions to assess whether there might be some areas you need to improve. Are you getting adequate sleep? Is your diet fueling your body well? Are you taking charge health? And are you getting enough exercise? Next up, let's get into social self-care. Socialization is key to self-care, but often it's hard to make time for friends, and it's easy to neglect your relationships when life gets busy. Close connections are important to your well-being. The best way to cultivate and maintain close relationships is to put time and energy into building your relationships with others. There isn't a certain number of hours you should devote to your friends or work on your relationships. Everyone has slightly different social needs. The key is to figure out what your social needs are and to build enough time in your social or in your schedule, excuse me, to create an optimal social life. So again, and saying that there isn't a certain number of hours that you should devote to your friends or work in your relationships. So based on your particular social needs, you need to align with what is required in order to build enough time in your schedule for those social priorities. Okay, so now to assess your social self-care, consider, are you getting enough face-to-face time with your friends? Your real friends, your true friends, your spiritual tribe. What are you doing to nurture your relationships with your friends and family? Next up, let's get into mental self-care, which is one of the most important forms of self-care, in my opinion. If your mental isn't right, everything else is going to fall apart. Amen? Amen. Now, the way that you think and the things that you're filling your mind with greatly influence your psychological well-being. Mental self-care includes doing things that keep your mind sharp, like puzzles, or learning about a subject that fascinates you. You might find reading books or watching movies that inspire you fuels your mind. Mental self-care also involves doing things that help you stay mentally healthy. Practicing self-compassion and acceptance, for example, helps you maintain a healthier inner dialogue. So here are a couple of questions to consider when you think about your mental self-care. Are you making enough time for activities that mentally stimulate you? Are you doing proactive things to help you stay mentally healthy? Next up, we get into spiritual self-care. Now, research shows that a lifestyle including religion or spirituality is generally a healthier lifestyle. Nurturing your spirit, however, doesn't have to involve religion. It can involve anything that helps you develop a deeper sense of meaning, understanding, or connection with the universe. Whether you enjoy meditation, attending a religious service, or praying, spiritual self-care is important. So as you consider your spiritual life, ask yourself, what questions do you ask yourself about your life and experience? And are you engaging in spiritual practices that you find fulfilling? Next up is emotional self-care. And it's important to have healthy coping skills to deal with uncomfortable emotions like anger, anxiety, and sadness. Emotional self-care may include activities that help you acknowledge and express your feelings regularly and safely. Whether you talk to a partner or a close friend about how you feel, or you set aside time for leisure activities that help you process your emotions, it's important to incorporate emotional self-care into your life. So when assessing your emotional self-care strategies, consider these questions. Do you have healthy ways to process your emotions? Do you incorporate activities into your life that help you feel recharged? So with all this said and done, you may ask yourself, why is self-care important? Having an effective self-care routine has been shown to have a number of important health benefits, which include reducing anxiety and depression, reducing stress and improving resilience, improving happiness, increasing energy, reducing burnout, stronger interpersonal relationships. Now, according to the World Health Organization, self-care is important because it can promote health, prevent disease, and help people better cope with illness. Specific forms of self-care, have also been linked to different health and wellness benefits, including a longer life. So, exercise, finding a sense of purpose in life, and sleep have all been connected to an increased lifespan. Okay, which exercise and finding and maintaining that purpose in life is also a form of self-care, which encompasses all of the aforementioned points that we recently just went through. Now, you can develop your own self-care plan. An effective self-care plan should be tailored to your specific life and your personal needs. It needs to be something created by you for you. No one can tell you what your self-care plan is or should be. Customizing your own self-care plan can act as a preventive measure to make sure that you don't get overwhelmed, overstressed, or burnt out. Assess which areas of your life needs more attention and self-care, and reassess your life often. As your situation changes, your self-care needs are likely to shift as well. So as you're building your self-care plan, the following steps can be helpful. First, assess your needs. Make a list of the different parts of your life and major activities that you engage in each day. Work, school, relationships, and family are some of the areas that one might list. Consider your stressors. Think about the aspects of all of these areas that cause stress and consider some ways you might address that stress. Next, you want to devise self-care strategies. You think about some activities that you can do that will help you feel better in each of these areas of your life. Spending time with friends or developing and enforcing boundaries, healthy boundaries, can be a way to build healthy social connections. Then you want to plan for challenges. When you discover that you're neglecting a certain aspect of your life, create a plan for change. Then you want to take small steps so that you don't get discouraged. You don't have to tackle everything all at once. Identify one small step you can take to begin caring for yourself better and more effectively. Then you want to schedule time to focus on your needs. Even when you feel like you don't have time to squeeze in one more thing, make self-care a priority. Remember, it's a priority, not a luxury. When you're caring for all aspects of yourself, you'll find that you are able to operate more effectively and efficiently. Amen. Now, the demands of your daily life can dictate what type of self-care you might need the most. A self-care plan for a busy college student who feels mentally stimulated all the time and has a bustling social life might need to emphasize physical self-care. A retired person, on the other hand, may need to incorporate more social self-care into their schedule to make sure that their social needs are being met. Self-care isn't a one-size-fits-all strategy. Your self-care plan will need to be customized to your specific and personal needs and what is currently going on in your life. You don't want to wait until you've reached your breaking point. The goal is to take steps each day to make sure that you're getting what you need in order to deal with the stress and challenges that you face in your daily life. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and take a spiritually logic break. And in the next segment, we'll get into some other aspects of self-care. Okay? Alrighty. Welcome back to your Spiritually Logic podcast. Now, in this segment, we're going to talk about spiritual self-care and some different ways to enforce this form of self-care. Now, the definition of spiritual self-care is any ritual or practice that we do to further our connection with our higher self. Your higher self is who you truly are as an individual, the real you. Your higher self is you that is disassociated from and not influenced by the ego or fear. Rather, this self operates from a soul-centered, soul-driven, soul-intended place that is aligned with your deepest desires, your all-being, source energy. Spiritual self-care is any ritual of practice to further your connection. Once again. Now, although they may seem similar, the practice of spiritual care differs from emotional self-care in that spiritual self-care is solely based on you and your connection to your all-being. On the other hand, emotional self-care includes people other than yourself, especially as you learn how to communicate your needs and desires, express emotions, and set boundaries with others. So when you begin to practice consistent spiritual self-care, you can expect to nurture your connection to all being, to your all being, and a higher power to create spiritual practices that fuel both your body and soul. So why exactly is spiritual self-care important? Aside from furthering a connection with your all-being, there are some powerful benefits to practicing spiritual self-care, making it an essential part of a holistic self-care practice. For example, if you're searching for inner peace, fortunately, that peaceful state of being is a happy side effect of regularly committing to your spiritual self-care. The benefit alone certainly makes practicing spiritual self-care seem important. Other important benefits of a spiritual self-care practice is a renewed sense of purpose or belonging, an increased connection with your intuition, an improved sense of peace and calm, a greater feeling of groundedness, and a deeper connection with others. So if you're interested in getting started with your spiritual self-care practice but unsure where to begin, we're going to get into some tips on how you can cultivate and practice your spiritual self-care routine and activities. Now, getting started with spiritual self-care doesn't have to be complicated or even time-consuming. Also, your spiritual self-care practice doesn't necessarily have to be focused on religion or include religion in any way. The choice is entirely up to you. So let's get into some tips of spiritual self-care and its activities. First up is practicing meditation. Meditation is a powerful practice that can bring you closer to your higher self. There are many benefits of meditation, including improving your concentration and reducing your stress levels. For many, the thought of starting a meditation practice can feel overwhelming. Many people say, "I don't meditate because I'm not good at it and it feels too difficult." Honestly, there's no competition when it comes to your personal meditation practice. And no one is perfect at meditating because that's not the goal of the practice. It's not perfection. What's essential is that no matter how muddled and how crazy your mind may feel, you choose to meditate solely for yourself, your spiritual self-care practice, and the benefits that come along with sitting in silence for a few minutes a day. Okay? Next up is reconnecting with nature. Simply immersing yourself in nature can help you connect with your all-being, your higher self, source energy. A walk in the woods or a long hike can help one disconnect from their day-to-day woes and tune into what one is feeling. It's like everything melts away, and one gets a chance to focus on their self and becoming more grounded. This helps keep you connected with your spiritual self, your all being. Nature can be so healing because it allows us to experience a moment with all five senses. In nature, we are truly in the moment and involved in something greater than ourselves, beyond our wildest beliefs. It's incredible what a positive impact a few hours in nature can have on your overall well-being. Next, you want to cleanse your space. Removing negative energy from your space is a powerful spiritual self-care practice. When we cleanse out the bad energy and invite in the positive, we create an environment to connect to our higher self, our all-being, with more ease. Think about it like you're creating space to usher in the best version of yourself. Using Palo Santo, an ancient holy wood used mainly by Peruvian shamans, is a grounding practice that can help you cleanse out the stale or negative energy. Light one end and allow the smoke to fill the area you wish to cleanse. Keep sticks at your desk, in your bedroom, and the kitchen so that you can easily cleanse as needed. In addition to Palo Santo, a sage smudging ritual is another way to cleanse your space. Using a bundle of dried sage is an ancient tradition, dating back 2,000 years, used by ancient shamans to clear negative energy from a person or an area. This is a potent spiritual self-care practice backed by a couple of thousand of years to use. Whichever method you choose, know that getting rid of negative stale energy is a great way to tap into inner peace and nurture your spiritual self-care practice, mind, body, and soul. Next, you want to cleanse your energy. Certify pure therapeutic grade essential oils can play a huge role in your spiritual self-care practice and assist you in cleansing your mental and emotional energy. You can also use essential oils to help cleanse your physical space as well. A note about essential oils, note not all oils are created equally, and it's important to use a third-party tested and approved brand. You can start to cleanse your energy by simply adding essential oils to your meditation practice or morning routine. Then apply the oil of your choice to your neck, wrist, and heart area, which are powerful spots, and envision your energy shifting and releasing with every application. Visualization is also a powerful tool and can help you release stagnant energy trapped inside your physical body. Some essential oils for your spiritual self-care practice are frankincense, cedarwood, jasmine, and rose. Next, you want to connect with a spiritual community. By immersing yourself in a community with familiar values as you, is another way to create a spiritual self-care practice. And when you surround yourself with like-minded, resonating individuals you respect and admire, you give yourself a chance to deepen your connection to your highest self, which also plays a part in your social self-care. Okay, one may find the yoga community, especially Kundalini, as a great way to connect with self on a spiritual level, in a space that one feels comfortable. Other spiritual communities could include churches, synagogues, drum circles, sound bowl gatherings, and healing circles. Then you want to find a trusted mentor, advisor, or coach. Your spiritual self-care practice doesn't have to be a completely solo journey. While much of the work is completed personally, it may be beneficial to find a trusted spiritual coach, mentor, or advisor to help guide you and answer questions that come up. If you're unsure on where to find a spiritual advisor, coach, or mentor, consider those locally in your community, or you can even reach out to me, Bryce Bryson, of Soul Driven, Soul Intended. Okay, my email address is souldrivensoulintended@gmail.com, and you can always visit my website at brycebrysonphotogr.wixsite.com/souldriven. Okay. Next up, you want to experiment with crystals, tarot cards, even playing cards as I use them for my cartomancy or catharmacy, personal intuitive and collective readings, and other spiritual tools. There are many spiritual tools that you can begin to incorporate into your life, again, including crystals, sound bowls, singing bowls, gongs and bells, tarot or playing cards, and essential oils. These tools can help you create a ritual or practice that supports your self-care journey, but aren't absolutely necessary for self-care. Alrighty? So these are just a few things to keep in mind when you are thinking about or incorporating spiritual self-care, okay? And as always, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. As always, if you want to financially support the soul-driven, soul-intended community and your Spiritually Logic podcast, you can click on the link below for support. It'll take you to a page where you will input your credit debit card information. From there, you will select your monthly donation amount in the dollar amount of 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99. If you prefer to make individual donations on a case-by-case scenario, you can always do that by utilizing my Cash App at Bryce Bryson. That's Bryce Bryson with a Y, not an I, as well as my Venmo, Bryce Bryson, as well as PayPal, Bryce Bryson, or Soul Driven Soul Intended at gmail.com. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back to your Spiritually Logic podcast. In this segment, we're going to go ahead and continue in the vein of spiritual self-care and get into some ways that one can nurture your spiritual life. Okay? So the highest aim of any spiritual path is surrendering. Although you may associate the word surrender with defeat or weakness, it is actually the most powerful spiritual action, offering you infinite freedom and possibility. Surrendering is trusting that God, the universe, your all-being, or higher intelligence, source energy can accomplish anything, even when you can't foresee the outcome of a situation. At the level of spirit, everything is always unfolding perfectly, and you don't have to struggle or force situations to go your way. It is only your ego mind that believes you are an isolated individual trying to survive in a hostile world. In truth, you are a spiritual being. When you surrender to spirit and listen to the voice of your deeper intelligence, all being source energy, you end the struggle. You free yourself from fear and doubt and release the obstacles your ego has created. The entire spiritually soul-driven, soul-intended path could be described as learning to let go, but letting go all at once is impossible. This is a path of many small steps, a process of replacing automatic reactions with deepened awareness. Now, in this segment of the Spiritually Logic podcast, we're going to go through some guidelines that have proved effective in personally nurturing one's spiritual life, okay? So we'll go ahead and kick it off with knowing your intentions. Your destiny is to move in the direction of your soul, and the fuel that makes destiny move is intention. Each day, have the intention to let go a little bit more, closing the gap of separation that is only a delusion of the ego. Also, unmask your false intentions, which take the form of guilty desires. I want someone else to fail. I want to get even. I want to take something that's not my own. False intentions can be elusive, but you can recognize them by the feeling tone they carry, including fear, greed, rage, hopelessness, and weakness. Sense the feeling first, refuse to buy into it, and then remain aware until you find the intention lurking beneath. Number two, set your intentions high. Aim to be a saint and a miracle worker. Why not? If you know that the goal of inner growth is to acquire mastery, then ask for that mastery as soon as possible. Don't strain to work wonders, but don't deny them to yourself either. The beginning of mastery is vision. See the miracles around you and make it easier for greater miracles to grow. Next up is seeing yourself in the light. The ego keeps its grip by making you feel needy and powerless. From this sense of lack grows a hunger to acquire everything in sight. Money, power, sex, and pleasure are supposed to fill up the emptiness, but they never do. You can escape this painful illusion if you see yourself in the light. The only difference between you and a saint is that your light is small and a saint's is great. You are both of the light. Next up, you want to see everyone else in the light. Everyone lives in the same light. When you are tempted to judge another human being, no matter how obviously he or she deserves it, remind yourself that everyone is doing the best he or she can from his or her own level of consciousness. And I have to slightly disagree with that passage, because even though we are all of light and shadow aspects, some people still choose to dwell in the depths of their shadows. Some people like dwelling in the shadows and don't want to ascend or elevate into the light. So the statement of saying that everyone is simply doing the best that he or she can do from their own level of consciousness, I don't exactly agree with. Amen. Amen. Because some people are very much aware of their low vibing actions and feelings. Okay. Now, it is still not up to us to judge someone of their lower vibrating ways or energies, but to simply be aware of it. Amen. That's simply that the way that was worded is kind of makes me feel like that they're excusing actions of others, or low vibrating actions of others, or energy of others. So I just wanted to make that clear from my standpoint. So next up, you want to reinforce your intentions every day. So everyday life is a kind of swirling chaos as we know it, and the ego is entrenched in its own demands. We need to remind ourselves day in and day out of our soul-driven, soul-intended spiritual purpose. Some people find it helpful to write down their intentions. For others, periods of regular meditation and prayer are useful. Find your own center. Look closely at yourself and do not let go of your intentions until it feels centered inside of yourself. Then you want to forgive yourself. Stop holding grudges against yourself as well as others. We all fall into traps of selfishness and delusions when we least expect it. The chance remakes or remarks that wound, that careless lie, and the irresistible urge to cheat are universal. Okay, so again, we all fall into traps of selfishness and delusions when we least expect it. The chance remark that wounds, the careless lie, and the irresistible urge to cheat are universal. Forgive yourself for being where you are. Forgive yourself for being where you are. Again, forgive yourself for being where you are. Apply the same dictum to yourself that you apply to others. I am doing the best that I can from my own level of consciousness. Be aware. One who is always stumbling but never falls. Let that be your definition of your day-to-day life. Or as Donnie McClurkin says, we fall down, but we get up. Okay. Next, you want to learn to let go. Stop holding grudges. Stop holding on to the things that doesn't serve your higher purpose. The paradox of being spiritual is that you are always wrong and always right at the same time. You are right to try to know God, but you are wrong to think that things won't change tomorrow. Every stage of inner growth is good and is nurtured by God, your all-being source energy. But when it's time to move on, don't hesitate to let go. revere what is holy. You may have been brought up to be skeptical of the sacred. In our society, few people spend much time delving into the world's great wealth of scripture, but the saints and human representatives of God are an infinite treasure. Dipping into this treasure will help you open your heart. The words of a saint or sage might be the right fertilizer at just the moment when your soul wants or needs to blossom. You always want to allow spirit to lead. Most people are addicted to worry, control, micromanagement, and doubt. Resist the temptation to follow these tendencies. Don't listen to the voice that says you have to be in charge. That constant vigilance is the only way to get anything done. Instead, let spirit try a new way and be willing to experiment. Intend for everything to work out as it should, and then let go and allow opportunities to come your way. Get into that divine feminine energy, resting in the receptive mode of receptivity. The outcome you are trying so hard to force may not be as good for you as the one that comes naturally by being in the receptive mode, in that divine feminine energy. 10. And lastly, you want to embrace the unknown. Over the years, you've formed likes and dislikes and learned to accept certain limits. None of this is the real you. You can't force the real you to emerge all at once. However, because it is painful to strip away the thick layers of illusion, you have to allow divine feminine energy. Allow the soul to reveal itself in its own time. Be assured that the unknown is awaiting you, one that has nothing to do with the I you already know, that ego. The part of you that you know is the part that flickers out all too fast. When you feel a new impulse, an uplifting thought, an insight that you have never acted upon before, embrace the unknown. Cherish it as tenderly as a newborn baby. God lives in the unknown, and when you embrace it fully, you will be free. Amen. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and take another soul-driven, soul-intended break and get into the next segment of this Spiritually Logic podcast. And again, as always, if you want to show support, you can go ahead and click on the support tab. It'll take you to the link where you would input your credit or debit card information. Then you would select your monthly donation amount, either 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99. And as always, you can always send donations to my Cash App at Bryce Bryson or my Venmo @BryceBryson or my PayPal @BryceBryson or SoulDrivenSoulIntended@gmail.com. We'll be right back with you. Welcome back to your Spiritually Logic podcast. So we're going to go ahead and bring this episode to a close. However, we will follow up in the next Spiritually Logic podcast in the vein of self-care. And then we're going to go ahead and deal with self-love, which is also a part of self-care. So I just wanted to break it up a little bit to shorten the length of this podcast and as well to kind of break it up a bit and give a separate I can't even think of the word that I want to say, but you all get it. So again, I always love and appreciate the support that the collective gives to the Spiritually Logic podcast and my soul-driven, soul-intended community as a whole. You are very much loved and appreciated. And as always, if you want to go ahead and show financial support, you can go ahead and click on the support link, which will take you to the payment page where you will enter your credit and or debit card information. You will select your monthly subscription or donation price in the dollar amounts of 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99. And if you would like to pledge individually, you can always use my Cash App, Bryce Bryson. That's $ Bryce Bryson with a Y, not an I. You can use my Venmo, pound Bryce Bryson, or my PayPal, Bryce Bryson, or at souldriven, soulintended, at gmail.com. You can also click on the message link if you would like to send messages of support or even ideas for subject matters for the next Spiritually Logic podcast. As always, I love, I thank you, and I appreciate all of you. Until next time, deuces.